And here we go again with another Bathrobe Spears Broadside Sunday show. It's the April 19th, 2020 show with, what's coming up here? Well, we're going to be continuing the sort of series of interviews that happened on the Shrunken Tour of Shame that we did a week ago, trying to explore more particularly the conditions in shelters, the usability of bathrooms, and the watersheds where you're supposed to be able to wash your hands with soap, you know, in the current crisis. The motels, which are supposedly being made available to the vulnerable, according to the CDC guidelines, but not apparently, at least we're not getting any specifics from Mayor Cummings, who gave me he sent me two documents today, or actually yesterday. This show is being recorded on Saturday, so I'm going to pretend it's Sunday as I speak, but you in the know it's really Saturday as I speak. But you're hearing it on Sunday, hopefully. We'll be looking at that, or I should say listening to that. And we also have an interview with Brent Adams, another with Peter Maron, and bits and pieces of life outside from all kinds of different folks, as I've been occasionally doing in the course of this, as I mostly, almost invariably, remain indoors, vulnerable elder and all that sort of thing. Nervous elder? I don't know. Anyway, listen to it if you want. And if you have any questions, comments, if you want to be a part of this program in the future, give me a call at 423-4833 and we'll talk about it. And we'll also receive any reports you're giving from the outside.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So after the Thursday show, which I do every Thursday night, I felt a little guilty, or maybe it was before the Thursday show, but anyway, around that time, because as I said, I'm kind of homebound, you know, sheltering in place and all that sort of thing, while other people are not just shivering in the streets, but getting crowded together in shelters, likely exposed to coronavirus, with no apologies from the people who are claiming to shelter them safely and getting relatively large chunks of cash to do that. I sent a letter off to Mayor Cummings. Actually, not just to Mayor Cummings, since he seems to have little power in the situation, but to a variety of other folks who supposedly have some power, including our pseudo-news media, the Santa Cruz Urinal, or the Scent Anal, as I like to call it, Jessica York, as well as a number of activists. And I was actually mainly writing, looking for some real stats. And it was addressed to Matt Nathanson, who's with the Homeless Persons Health Project, or was until he retired. I think he's still kind of working for the county or helping in this crisis, as many are. I wrote to him, Matt, as you know, the Supes finally in San Francisco unanimously voted to open motel rooms to thousands of homeless people. And then I quoted a couple of stories that I may have mentioned in the past few broadcasts. I did, in fact, play the entire Coalition on Homelessness run press conference that they did about a week ago up there after the it was exposed that first 70 odd, now I guess 90 people in a homeless shelter up there had been tested and found COVID-19 positive. And I think, I don't know if there's been any sicknesses and death there. Don't quite remember that specific stat. But the point was they realized that the mayor breathed slow. Well, let's take it easy and wait till people get sick. And let's transfer a few folks here and there. But let's not generally start moving the homeless population indoors into safe separated rooms so they can be safe from each other and the community can be safe and everybody can be safe or safer. It's hard to say how safe you're actually going to be. Anyway, they started doing that, and I wrote, and this was a couple of articles in the San Francisco Chronicle that talked about that, one in the Guardian as well. Then I continued, reports about Santa Cruz's failure to empty its dangerous group shelters continue to be unclear. Can you provide either stats or informed estimates in answer to the following questions? How many motel rooms are currently available for housing homeless folks? How many are currently vacant? How many occupied? What's the cost of these rooms? How much funding is still available? Have all shelter operators, or at least Salvation Army and housing SMATTERS or Splinters, they call themselves Housing Matters, former Homeless Lack of Services Center, offered its clients, how many of these shelter operators have offered its clients the option to go into these shelters? Or rather, are only those who are A, sick, and B, COVID positive being given that option? Is it an option or a requirement for the COVID-19 cases? Most important, is the motel option being offered to all homeless people in these shelters, or at least elderly and vulnerable people being offered the rooms? What are the specific criteria? Who has these statistics if you do not? What is their contact information? How many cases of sickness have appeared in the Paul Lee Loft, the Page Smith Community House, the Laurel Street Shelter, the Armory, and the Vets Hall? How many documented COVID-19 cases in each place? And you got some information about that, or at least some allegations about that, from Rafa Sonnenfeld, who works at the Veterans Hall, at least for one of those places, in the last Thursday broadcast. And I want to thank Rafa for those at least attempts to be honest, because what I got from Justin Cummings were two documents which answered only really one of the questions of that whole long list of questions, which was, no, we don't feel people experiencing homelessness have any right to a motel room. We are reserving them for a broad category of a bunch of mixed groups called COVID-19 positive, sick, and or vulnerable, without defining how vulnerability is to be defined here in Santa Cruz. And also how many people that specifically involves, how many motel rooms are involved, and so forth. There actually, I think there was some figure of about 30 or 40 motel rooms. And of course, we have a homeless population. I don't know how many of them we would call particularly vulnerable, but I think homeless people are generally vulnerable outside. Though sometimes it would seem, well, I think that's the case. They die 20 years younger, and they may seem hardy enough, struggling time after time to deal with seized tents, confiscated and destroyed backpacks, food thrown away by police, and so forth. Again, it may be pointed out that these are maybe the high-profile protest, we won't move, we demand our rights end to homeless folks, not the gently right underneath the sort of going below the margins, being very quiet, moving on when the police tell you to, and everything's going to be okay with that group. That is the kind of the story that we get from Brent Adams. I don't buy it entirely. I think there's some truth to it, because I've met some people who have lived like that and done that successfully. But there's also a very great number of folks who are getting hassled unnecessarily, improperly, and I believe unconstitutionally, and certainly inhumanely. And that remains the obvious case during this crisis, although it has to be said that certain measures have been taken that we've asked for years, like more porta-potties, more washing stations, expanded 24-hour, quote-unquote, shelters, which would be shelters perhaps if there weren't a COVID virus around, which is dangerous in the way it's seems to be at least described by the media worldwide and by our great governor and, of course, the Fuhrer in Washington and the county and city authorities. They're shutting down everything in town, and they're acting as though it's a major emergency. And I'm not saying we shouldn't assume it isn't a major emergency, but then to treat homeless people as though they can be simply sort of shoveled together in the same circumstances and pretend that that's not going to have an impact is ridiculous. And it's also abusive to the broader community, as I continued to point out. But indeed, it has to be said that the expansion of Don Lane's pallets at the, housing splinters, or whatever they're calling them, housing matters, if you will, if you want to use their term, although I don't think they'd get much in the way of housing at that end. At least we haven't seen any documentation of it. It's good that there's an expanded space for people who were previously crammed into the Paul Lee loft, first into tents out into the driveway area, as Rafa Sonnenfeld described on Thursday, and then into these doghouse pallets, which are a step up. They have a certain amount of privacy and so forth. There's no, of course, separate bathroom. And there's no separate, there's their conjugal kitchen facilities, stuff that you don't want people who are facing COVID-19 to have, and which you, well, essentially such kinds of group meals and so forth are, I don't know what procedures they're using at these shelters. I haven't been advised in the documents that Cummings forwarded to me, which, by the way, I'm forwarding along. If you want them, you should look online at the Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website. That's huffsantacruz.org, and then go to the Huff blog, and you'll see the latest letter from Mayor Cummings to me and my letter back to him. I asked him these questions, and he, about, you know, how many motel rooms, how many are vacant, what's the cost, are shelter operators offered clients the option to go into the motel rooms, how many people got COVID-19, how many have been tested, do they have the option to be tested, et cetera, et cetera. His answer was, please find the documents attached, cheers. And he then sent these out to me. And the documents he sent